of Brihat Bhagavatamrita. This is book 2 and it is session 16. So today's class will be given by Her Grace Preeti Vilasini Mataji. So Mataji, we are looking forward for your class. Please take over the class, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Mataji, we cannot hear you. It is on mute, Mataji.
Okay. Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. Thanks to everyone who joined the call. Thank you so much, Mataji. So we are continuing to read from Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita. This is book 2, session number 16. Book 2 is the story of Gopakumar, which is the most popular portion of Brihat Bhagavatamrita. So we'll start with the prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्गायते गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनकारिणं. नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते राधानाथस्वामिन् इति नामिने. नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन्निति नामिने. नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवसादि गौरभक्तवृन्द. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. My obeisances to all the Vaishnavas on the call. Vancha kalpata rubeshcha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. All glories to Srila Sanatan Goswami, the author of Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita. So we are discussing the story of Gopakumar, and in our previous session we saw how Gopakumar had the opportunity to talk to the associates of Vaikuntha by the mercy of Lord Shiva. So those associates of Vaikuntha, they told Gopakumar about the importance of going to Vaikuntha and physically associating with the Lord. And they also spoke about the following the process of Navavida Bhakti, that is the 9 processes of devotional service, starting with Shravanam, Kirtanam and so on. So they told him, if you want to go, you can go first to Sadashiva Loka, get some experience there and then proceed to Vaikuntha Loka. But still, if you're in a hurry and you really want to go to Vaikuntha and see what exactly it is like, you must first go to Vrajabhumi. You go to Vrajabhumi, go to that place which rewards all the ambitions that one may have in your heart. So first you go to Vrajabhumi, and then after performing suitable bhajan in Vrajabhumi, you can gain entry to Vaikuntha. So while on Vrajabhumi, Gopakumar was instructed by the Vaikuntha Dutas to follow a certain bhajan. And today and in the next class, we will see in detail what was the sadhana that was prescribed to Gopakumar, what was prescribed for him. That we will see in today's class, and we will also go through that in the next class. And this sadhana prescription is kind of very important and it is applicable even to us. So we'll see in detail what these Vaikuntha Dutas told Gopakumar, what he should practice, how he should practice, what is the best process of performing sadhana. So they continued giving instructions to Gopakumar, and they told him about chanting. They began to talk about chanting. They told that chanting must be done in pure devotion, that is unmixed of both karma and jnana. And by that form of devotional service, one will soon realize what is prema bhakti, and they will see the Lord in Vaikuntha. So pure love of God is the most sublime wealth. Now, there are some people who talk about remembering, they say that remembering rather than chanting is actually the essential means of devotional service that leads to prema. Because actually, after all, chanting just appears to be quickly and easily a faculty of speech, you know, that happens on the tongue, and chanting itself, the tongue itself is not alive or conscious. So this was the opinion that was expressed by the masters in Tapaloka, headed by Pippalayana. All the residents of Tapaloka, if you remember, headed by Pippalayana, they all insisted that it is indeed smaranam, it is remembrance, that is the most effective means of achieving prema. They say that superior bhakti actually appears only within the mind. And the mind being the ruler of the senses, though it is difficult to control, when the mind becomes controlled, all the functions of all the external senses, which is including kirtan, which is done with the tongue, that also becomes controlled. So this was the opinion given by the sages in Tapaloka. But however, we have to see what was told to Gopakumar by the associates of Vaikuntha. So initially, the associates of Vaikuntha, they told Gopakumar about Shravanam. In our previous session, we saw how he was instructed about Shravanam and how it is very important to hear the pastimes of Lord Krishna from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Then they said mainly after Shravanam, main focus for you should be Nama Sankirtanam. Bhagavan Nama Sankirtanam, loud chanting of the holy names of the Lord, is in fact the most effective way of entering Vaikuntha. So this specific instruction was given to Gopakumar, and they began to elaborate on this process. They said the glories of Shravanam, and they said that yes, there are some people like the sages of the Tapaloka headed by Pippalayana who talk about Smaranam as being great, and it is the most effective process. But now the Vaikuntha Vasis are going to defeat that idea, and they are going to tell us how Bhagavan Nama Sankirtanam, loud chanting of the holy names, is actually the most effective process that has to be practiced. So when we talk about these devotees in Tapaloka, what was their idea when they glorified Smaranam so much? What did they think when they actually glorified Smaranam so much? We also see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the mind is highly glorified. Okay, if the mind is controlled, then everything can come under control and the process of perfection can be easily attained. So we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, in chapter 23, verses 47 and 45, they talk very highly about the mind. So let's read the translation of these two verses. Mano vashe anyehi abhavan smadeva manaschananyascha vasham sameti bhishmo hi deva sahasah sahiyan yunjayat vashetam sahi deva deva. All the senses have been under the control of the mind since time immemorial, and the mind itself never comes under the sway of any other. He is stronger than the strongest, and he is godlike in his power, and he is fearsome. Therefore, anyone who can bring the mind under control becomes the master of all the other senses. Charity, prescribed duties, observance of major and minor regulative principles, hearing from scripture, pious works, and purifying vows all have their final aim in subduing the mind. Indeed, concentration of the mind on the Supreme is the highest yoga. So we also see such facts from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this, in fact, was the opinion of the residents of Tapaloka, who gave more weightage to the process of meditation using the mind. But the Vaikunthavasis, they said, we, however, consider the chanting of the holy names alone to be the most excellent form of bhakti. It is much better than Shravanam that appears in one's turbulent mind. So we know this verse, Chanchalam hi manaha Krishna pramati balavadhridam. This was spoken by Arjuna. Arjuna himself admits in the Bhagavad Gita that the mind is turbulent. The mind is extremely turbulent. But the Vaikunthavasi says, this turbulent mind, however, is very difficult to control. However, with chanting, not only is one's tongue harnessed by chanting the holy names, but also one's mind and the other senses also comes under control immediately as one begins to chant the holy names. So it is chanting that helps the person. It not only helps the person who's practicing this process, but it also helps others who are around them. So chanting works in different levels. The minute you begin to chant, not only is your tongue getting controlled because it is associating with the holy names of the Lord, but since you chant, you also hear. Your hearing, your other senses also come in control. And as you hear the chanting and you internalize it, the mind also comes into control. So just with one external feature, so many other senses, including the internal senses, actually come under control. And not only that, it is not that only you are getting benefited, but everyone around you, all living entities around you are getting benefited, because spontaneously this is being fed into the ears. These vibrations of the holy names are being fed into the ears of them, whether they are consciously trying to hear or not. It is just going inside and the purification begins. So this was the opinion of the Vaikuntha Ruta. Smaranam is purely an internal function, but Kirtan actively empowers the power of speech, which affects both internal and external environments. Both the mind is controlled and even one's ear is properly engaged. Kirtan also affects the mind. It subconsciously, the mind comes in contact with the holy names and all the spiritual sensory functions are purified. So if the subtle contact is not established with the mind, eventually when you're chanting, hearing and connecting to the mind, the spirit soul doesn't wake up. So the Vaikuntha Dutas are saying that as you chant, all these processes are just getting activated and the spirit soul wakes up. So this transcendental sound of Kirtan, it enters into the ears by its own strength without any effort of the chanter. Okay, you're not taking a special effort to make your ears hear your chanting. It just spontaneously happens without the effort of the chanter by the holy name's own strength. And thus, it benefits not only the chanter, but it also benefits everyone else who hears the chanting. Just like we saw in one of our previous sessions, the story of a tiger who just heard the holy names and he was liberated at the time of death. So, the holy name automatically get into the ears of a person who's hearing it. Actually, Smaranam doesn't have this power at all, because first of all, unless the mind's fickle nature is changed, Smaranam cannot manifest itself fully. The difficulty in practicing this process of Smaranam or meditation makes it a problem, and therefore it becomes a less important process as compared to Kirtan. By the power of Kirtan, even sinful Ajamil, who couldn't remember the Lord at the time of death, actually attained liberation. How? He was not sitting and meditating at the time of death. He just heard Namabhas. He just heard the holy name, that too in the mood of Namabhas. He chanted. He chanted and his ears heard it. And to the Ajamil, who couldn't even do meditation at the last minute, he was so sinful. It was only by the power of the holy names that he himself was liberated. So the benefits in remembrance, sacrifice, worship, everything possible is attained through the process of Kirtan. And especially Kirtan is very, very applicable in this current age of Kali, where there is so much turbulence and harnessing your mind is extremely difficult. So we know so many verses from scripture that talk about the process that is recommended for this age of Kali Yuga. Vishnu Purana, it says, Dhyayan krite yajan yajnyai sretayan dvapare tachayan yadnapnoti tadapnoti kalau sankirtya keshavam. The supreme goal which was attained in Satya Yuga by years of prolonged meditation, in Treta Yuga by performing extensive yajnas, in Dvapara Yuga by opulent and scrupulous deity worship, in Kali Yuga, the same results are easy and simply attained by chanting the holy names of Keshava. This is Vishnu Purana. And of course, Bhagavatam has some classic verses. Kale doshe nidhe rajan astihi eko mahagunan kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangha param rajet कृते यध्यायतो विष्णुं त्रेतायां यजतो मकै द्वापरे परिचर्यायां कलौ तद्हरिकीर्तनात्. The most important factor in this age of Kali, which is an ocean of faults, is that one can be free from all contamination and become eligible to enter the kingdom of God simply by chanting the holy names. So the self-realization that was achieved in Satya Yuga by meditation, in Treta Yuga by the performance of different kinds of sacrifices, and in Dwapara Yuga by worship of Lord Krishna, can easily be attained in this age of Kali simply by chanting the holy names. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 12.3.51.2. So, if this sense of speech, all the external and internal senses and motion is brought under constant control, then the mind becomes stable and one can properly engage in the transcendental remembrance of the Lord. So therefore, the Vaikuntha Duttas explain that remembrance is only a fruit of chanting. That is, remembrance develops as a product of proper chanting. And that's why in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we see this very beautiful verse. Most of you must be familiar of this verse. It says, Atha Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Grahyam Indriyai Sevon Mukhe Hi Jihvadau Vadameva Svathyata. Therefore, material senses by itself, they cannot appreciate Krishna's holy name, form, qualities and pastimes. But when a conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness and renders service by using the tongue is the primary thing. Unless you chant with the tongue, unless you chant the holy names with the tongue, and taste the remnants of the Lord's food with your tongue, the tongue doesn't get purified. So you chant with your tongue, you taste prasadam regularly with your tongue. When the tongue gets purified, then one gradually understands who Krishna is. Krishna is very difficult to understand. He is adokshaja. He is beyond the senses. But still we are using the sense. We are using the tongue. Tongue, devotional service begins with tongue. So unless you use this tongue in the service of Krishna by chanting the holy names and by tasting prasadam, you're not going anywhere. So this is a beautiful verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.2.34. It is also quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela 17.1.36. So the tongue was first purified when it comes in contact with the holy names, and these holy names are non-different from Krishna. When the tongue gets purified, then all the other external and internal senses are automatically purified by the holy name. Then one really understands who Krishna is. So specifically, we see that in our sampradaya, chanting of the holy names is always given first importance. Even when we take vows, we specifically take vows to chant 16 rounds at least, minimum. Why? Because the tongue has to be harnessed. Devotional service begins with the tongue. So it is very, very important. Besides, of course, all the 9 processes are very potent, but special focus is given to chanting of the holy names. So if one chants the holy name, then the rest of the process of devotional service automatically flow. Yeah? You chant, Shravanam happens. Shravanam happens, Smaranam happens. Then the rest of the process is one by one by one. There's a transformation of heart. And then you proceed further in devotional service. So, now the Vaikuntha Dutas, we are not leaving the matter so easily. We are still arguing with the proponents of those who talk very highly of Smaranam first. So therefore, the Vaikuntha Dutas, they continued the argument. They said, there are some intelligent and very sincere Vaishnavas who are completely convinced that meditation on the Lord is the best form of devotional service. Now, because they have perceived some authentic spiritual taste in their meditation, their opinion must be honored. We are not against them. Yes, their opinion must be honored. Definitely, we have gone through some very intense meditation and they have found some taste in it. They have seen the Lord. They have felt an ecstatic taste in it. That's why they are saying that Smaranam is so great. This opinion must be honored. But however, this opinion must be slightly adjusted to make it exactly correct. So, what are these people who are advocating Smaranam talking about? They are saying, this is what they are saying. We'll quote what they say. They say that the faculty of speech has the power to mobilize all the senses, both external and internal, are like the ears and the mind. They accept what we are saying. They are saying the faculty of speech has the power to mobilize all the senses. They are also accepting it. Then they say, if a person steadies his mind by controlling speech, either by silence or practicing sankirtan, yes, he can slowly begin to remember the Lord. So kirtan, they say, is only the means to the goal, which is smarana. So some, and then they say, yes, some of your scriptures say that sankirtan is the only thing in this modern age of Kali Yuga. And all the exceptional faults of Kali Yuga can be counteracted only by the powerful process of kirtana and not by meditation or any other process. But actually, we say that there is absolutely no rule that meditation on the Lord is a less enough process to wash away the contamination of Kali Yuga. Smaranam is actually applicable at all times. Your meditation on the Lord is applicable at all times. Just like how you quote so many verses from scripture saying that in this age of Kali, it is only kirtan, and only through kirtan, everything gets purified and smaranam can become steady. Just like how you quote, we also quote from various scriptures saying that even one, simply by remembering the Lord, one's hordes of sinful activities are destroyed. We can also give so many quotes from scripture. So therefore, we are advocating this point that smaranam is actually a better form of devotional service because it is a function of the mind. It is mind is directly connected, you know, close to the soul, and the mind can really transform the soul. It is meditation ultimately that actually bestows the perfection of life. So this is the argument of the people who talk about smaranam. The Vaikuntha Dutas, they accept this opinion, but as long as it is qualified by the understanding that real meditation on the Supreme Lord happens only at a very mature stage of devotional development. It doesn't happen at the beginning itself. So when intense meditation develops, only when intense meditation develops, the mature devotee realizes the Lord in his heart and he perceives many details of the Lord's beautiful form, right from his feet to the hair on his body. So if a devotee becomes so proficient in dhyana, if he has become a perfect person in dhyana, if he has become so perfect in meditation on the Lord, then all the devotional practices that is generally performed with the external faculty, like the speech, the touch, sight, and other things, they become spontaneous activities inside the mind, which means Shravanam Kirtanam happen internally inside the mind only for a devotee who has become so proficient in dhyana. Only when he has become such a great meditator, only then all these activities which complete devotion happens inside the mind. Okay, he can inwardly continue his process of Shravanam Kirtanam and so on without the participation of the external senses. Only at that time, he doesn't need to take aid of the external senses. So therefore, the Vaikuntha Dutas explained that meditation can become a more important practice than Kirtan only for a devotee who has internalized everything, who is at a very mature state of Smaranam, but not really otherwise. Otherwise, it is only Kirtan that can impel Smaranam. Smaranam cannot really directly impel Shravanam Kirtanam. It can become internalized, but only for a devotee who has achieved this very high state of meditation. Only for him, it is valid. So after qualifying this point that only Kirtan is actually the simple and practical process to easily attain perfection because the rest of the senses come under control and the mind can also focus properly. After saying this, the Vaikuntha Dutas, they also say that ultimately, okay, having said this, that Kirtan is the general process. But having said that, the Vaikuntha Vasis, they also give this leverage. They say ultimately, whatever devotional method by which a person with real spiritual taste feels satisfaction and complete joy, that method is suitable for him. All saintly authorities, they accept that is the most excellent and most effective for him. When a devotee feels very strong, eager attraction to any of the 9 methods of devotional service, ultimately that becomes a mean for him to quickly fulfill all his desires, and his devotional service at that mature state evolves into prema, which is the final goal of life. So for a devotee who is very advanced in meditation, for him, sankirtan expands the joy of meditation, and meditation in turn expands the joy of sankirtan. actually, for him, the two methods, they are interdependent. So, depending on time, place, and circumstance, one may be better than the other, but that shouldn't create a confusion because one is not complete without the other. So, for an advanced devotee, smaranam can intensify kirtanam, kirtanam can intensify smaranam. So, regardless of which is the cause and which is the effect, ultimately, both are essentially non-different for him because of the mutual dependence that is happening in his heart. So, meditation will also bestow the same joy as sankirtan when a meditating devotee directly sees the Lord face to face in his meditation. So, overall, the point we were trying to make is that kirtanam is the standard process. Okay, you just cannot, you know, when you say smaranam, many people are not directly going into that advanced state of smaranam. So the general principle they are trying to make is that kirtanam is the standard process that works for all. It will work automatically. You don't have to make a special endeavor. Yet they do not reject any exceptions. Yes, for an advanced devotee, maybe each devotee has a special liking to one of the nine processes of devotional service and they can perfect by doing that. But it's not a universal principle. So, this is how they argue, saying that the standard process is kirtanam, and it. But yet they do not reject any exceptions to it, that an advanced devotee may sometimes be attached to other processes, and that is still okay, as long as he can develop prema, which is the final goal through that process. Okay. But however, these Vaikunthavasis, just like how we saw in the Tapaloka, the residents of Tapaloka headed by Pippalayana, they were so much in favor of smaranam. Similarly, these Vaikunthavasis, they speak very strongly in favor of kirtanam. So they say, not only that, there are actually so many advantages of Harinam Sankirtan. Meditation can only be performed in secluded places without any external interferences. But Harinam Sankirtan can be performed either in the company of many people or even in seclusion. The Vaishnavas practicing Harinam Sankirtan, they feel great joy and they feel an urge sometimes to explain what is happening within their hearts, but they cannot explain these ecstasies in limited words because they are very confidential. But still it comes out in terms of their bodily expressions. People can see it and sometimes they do feel embarrassed. And it's not that they feel embarrassed because these bodily expressions are coming out in presence of others. Sometimes even when they are in a private place also, it comes out and they feel embarrassed. But still, the underlying point is that they feel great joy in this process. It can be performed with people. It can be performed in seclusion. And the people around you are also benefited by this beautiful process of kirtan. So the Vaikuntha Dutas, they seem to have their favorite process as Harinam Sankirtan because there is no limitations at all for practicing this process. The other day we were also talking about how wonderful chanting of the holy names is. It is not dependent on any other process. All that you need is your tongue. And wherever you are, you can always chant. But for all the other processes, there is some limitation or the other. But kirtanam seems to be very, very straightforward and extremely effective. So then the Vaikuntha Duta said, they said, of the many ways, there are so many ways of doing kirtan. Okay? There are so many ways of chanting the glories of Krishna. Among all these ways, Nama Sankirtan is actually the best according to spiritual authorities because it can evoke at once pure love for Krishna. What are the other ways of performing kirtan? Kirtan includes reciting the Vedas, the Vedic mantras, that is also kirtan. Reciting verses from so many Puranas, you can take out the entire Sanskrit and start reciting all the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that is also kirtan. Speaking of one's own narrations of the pastimes of the Lord, every day we are hearing so many classes, right? So many people are doing kirtanam. Even Shukadev Goswami was doing kirtanam. Yes, that is also very nice. That is also kirtanam only. Every day when a person gives a Bhagavatam class or a Chaitanya Charitamrita class, we are doing kirtanam. That is also a form of glorifying the pastimes of the Lord. Singing devotional songs. There are so many people who sing beautiful bhajans on the Lord. So that is also kirtanam. That is also considered kirtan. But however, they say that the best form of kirtan is indeed namasankirtan. Chanting the holy names of the Lord loudly. Loud chanting of the holy names, namasankirtan, is considered to be the best form of kirtan because it can independently at once awaken love of God. And because Nama is different from Krishna. Krishna and his name are not different. Nama immediately evokes Rupa, Guna, Leela. It just happens automatically. So therefore they say Nama can immediately, independently awaken love of God. And who can really describe this unequaled excellence of Krishna's holy names? Krishna's holy names are so sweet. People who have relished it know it. I don't know it. But people who have relished it, they know the value of Krishna's holy name. And the story of Lord Chaitanya in Jharkhand forest sometimes comes to mind when we hear about this fact of the holy name. So when Lord Chaitanya, he passed to the Jharkhand forest in great ecstasy, we see that a pack of tigers, elephants, rhinoceros and boars, they all came and the Lord passed straight through all of them. And Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who was accompanying Lord Chaitanya, he was actually very much afraid to see them. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's influence in that place, just by his influence, all the animals stood on one side, giving way for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to pass. So one day, a tiger was lying on the path, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking in his path in ecstatic love. And when he saw this tiger with love, he just touched the tiger with his feet, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, "Chant the holy name of Krishna. Chant the holy name of Krishna." And the tiger immediately got up and he began to dance and chant. He was saying, "Krishna, Krishna." He just began to chant like that. And another day, Lord Chaitanya was bathing in a river and a herd of mad elephants came behind him to drink water. When the Lord was bathing and murmuring his Gayatri mantra, the elephants came before him and the Lord immediately splashed some water on top of them and he asked the elephants to chant. And they began to chant in ecstasy. As long as they were touched by the water that was splashed by the Lord, they began to chant, "Krishna! Krishna!" And they started chanting the holy names of the Lord and they began to dance and sing in ecstasy. So this is recorded in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Where have you heard about animals chanting and dancing? This can happen by the power of the holy names. When it is uttered by a pure devotee, when it is uttered by the Supreme Lord, it can happen. It will happen. So this happened in the Jharkhand forest and it is recorded in Madhya Leela chapter 17 verses 26 to 32. Then once a group of 5 or 7 tigers joined a group of deer following the Lord. So the Lord was walking, behind him a group of deer was walking and seeing this deer as a good prey, 7 or 8 tigers started joining the group. They were thinking they're going to attack the deer. But by the influence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and him chanting the holy name, not only did the tigers and the deer start dancing and jumping in ecstasy, they also embraced one another and they started kissing each other. They were touching their mouths to each other. You must have seen these paintings of the Jharkhand forest where tigers and deer were they were standing like this and they were kissing each other. So all the forest creatures, animals, birds, trees, creepers, everyone was maddened by the holy name of Krishna that was vibrated by the tongue of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not only was he maddened, but everybody around him, all the plants, all the creatures, and the two animals, the tigers and the deers, who are the worst of the enemies. The tigers praise the deer, but they are kissing each other in ecstasy in love of the holy names. So the Lord also awakened ecstatic love of God in the heart of the jungle people who were there. There were so many jungle residents. So even in their hearts, a love of God was automatically awakened by the holy names that were chanted by Sriman Mahaprabhu. Because he was immersed in so much love of God that as he chanted, everyone else around was awakened by love of God by hearing these holy names. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just took it for granted that this forest of Jharkhand was the same as Vrindavan and the rivers that he was seeing around him was the same as River Yamuna. He was in a trance and he was chanting like this. And there is an interesting piece of information here which I wanted to share about the exact location of this pastime. I thought this would be nice for us to know. And what is the proof that Mahaprabhu went there and all these animals actually had symptoms of love of God? This is from Lokanath Maharaj's Padyatra team. He says, it is recorded that the exact location of the pastime isn't mentioned in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, where exactly in Charikhand forest. The only indication given is that the Lord kept the city of Kataka on his right and he entered the forest in verse number 24 of that chapter. In some biographies of Lord Chaitanya, it is mentioned that he performed Sankirtan at a place named Kunjanagari on the banks of the Chautama River, and all the wild animals took part by chanting and dancing. The earth became so ecstatic upon hearing the sweet kirtan of the Lord that she melted in some places, which resulted in imprints of the footprints of Sriman Mahaprabhu and the animals around him. About 10 to 15 years ago, a sage came to perform a yajna within a kilometer of that area, and the following night, the exact place of Gauranga's wonderful pastime was revealed in his dream. Later on, the villagers, they held a huge yajna at that spot. Between at least 50 to 70,000 people came to worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and meditate on his amazing pastime in Charikhand forest. The villagers then built a small Sankirtan hall of brick and cement and installed murtis of Radha Krishna. This site is now assumed to be the place of Lord Chaitanya's leelas within the jungle of with the jungle animals. It is situated deep in the forest just beside the small river, and it exactly matches the description given in the previous quoted verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, with the elephants dancing and tigers dancing in ecstasy. This could very well be the exact spot, as they are embedded with the footprints of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with the wild animal associates. So as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting the holy names and all these animals were jumping up in ecstasy, the stones under their feet actually melted and their footprints are still seen, including the footprints of Sri Mahaprabhu. So devotees who visited this place, they could personally distinguish the footprints of tigers and elephants on the riverbed. These footprints are not found randomly on all large rocks, but it is found only in specific places. They cannot be man-made. They look so natural. Anyone who visits this place performs ecstatic Harinam Sankirtan to invoke the Lord's mercy, just as he bestowed it to all the wild animals 533 years ago. So even animals could achieve love of God by chanting the holy names. And of course, all this could happen only by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So we see the power of the holy names. That when it is chanted very purely, holy names can do anything. Rocks melted, animals danced, the worst of the enemies became the best of friends. Anything can happen. So the Vaikuntha Dutas, they shared their views on the holy names. They said, although all the names of the Lord are equally great, a devotee must quickly and easily achieve his goals by chanting the name. And what kind of name should he chant? He should chant the name that he holds most dear to him. So there are so many names of the Lord. The Supreme Lord's names are all infinite. And their glories, their glories are also infinite. We cannot say that one name can be greater than the other. Just like how a Chintamani stone, it has many faces. It appears in different forms. And yet, all of them have the same power. Every Chintamani stone can produce whatever a person wants, irrespective of the shape of the Chintamani stone. But however, if a devotee is particularly attracted to one name of the Lord, that name will quickly carry him to perfection. This is what is the opinion of the Vaikuntha Dutas. So they said that there are so many names of the Lord. There are millions of names. What name should we chant? We should chant the name they are most attracted to. This is their opinion. So then they said, there are some devotees who favor the name of Rama. They like to chant based on the declaration of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, what did he say in the Sahasranama Sutra? He said, Sahasranama Abhituliyam Rama Nama Varanane. Shri Rama Rama Rameti Rame Rame Manorame Sahasranama Tatuliyam Shri Rama Nama Varanane. So they said, he said, my dear beautiful wife, the names of Lord Rama is equivalent to 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu. This is in Sahasranama of Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda 72, 335, and also the Sahasranama recorded in the Mahabharata. So Lord Shiva's statement is Ramanama is everything. He is very attracted to Ramanam. We know how Lord Shiva always chants the name of Lord Rama. He is very attracted to Ramanam. But however, devotees of Krishna, we also state from Brahmanda Purana. We say, Sahasra Namanam Punyam, Sir Avritya Tu Yat Phalam, Eka Vritya Tu Krishnasya Namaikam Tat Prayachati. If one utters Sri Krishna Nama once, one obtains the same result that comes from chanting the pure Vishnu Sahasra Nama three times. The purport is that the 1,000 names of Vishnu equals to one name of Rama, and 3,000 names of Vishnu, three names of Rama equals one name of Krishna. Chanting Krishna's name once gives the same result as chanting Rama's name three times. So, that is our take. Anyway, since people have different tastes, each name of the Lord is dear to one person or the other, and all the names of the Lord are therefore very, very potent and they are very dear. Some are attracted to one name, some are attracted to two names, some are attracted to many, many names. When the nectar of this holy name, what they are attracted to, when the nectar of the holy name of the Lord appears on the senses of such as the tongue, especially the tongue, the rest of the senses become flooded with sweet taste. Therefore, even greater than meditation is chanting the holy names. So this is how the Vaikunthavasis, they explain the glories of the holy name. The Harinam Sankirtan of Krishna's name is actually praised to be the best and most powerful means of attaining the treasure of Krishna Prema. It is like a potent mantra that can attract objects from a distance. We know these mantras like Vashya mantras. You chant that mantra, you can attract the objects from a long distance. So like that, this when you chant Krishna's names, it is so potent that it can simply attract Krishna Prema that is so hard to forget. So when you chant nicely, Krishna Prema automatically gets, it just comes to you. You get that Shakti to pull Krishna Prema to you. And if one wants ultimate success in spiritual life, one must take to Nama Sankirtan. As the Vaikunthavasis, they proclaim this very, very strongly, and they also quote very beautiful words from the Srimad Bhagavatam that shows how Nama Sankirtan nourishes a devotee. So we'll see this verse. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam 11 to 39, let me just quote the verse. Shavantu Bhatrani Rathanga Pane Janmani Karmani Chayani Loke Gitani Ramani Tadartakani Gayan Vilajo Vichareda Sandaha. An intelligent person who has controlled his mind and conquered fear should give up all attachment to material objects such as family and nation and should wander freely without embarrassment, hearing and chanting the holy names of the Lord, the bearer of the chariot wheel. The holy names of Krishna are all auspicious because they describe the transcendental birth and activities which he performs within the world for the salvation of the conditioned souls. Thus, the holy names of the Lord are sung throughout the world. By chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord, one comes to the stage of love of God. Then the devotee is fixed in his vow as an eternal servant of the Lord, and he gradually becomes very much attached to a particular name and form of the Supreme Personality of God, Godhead. As his heart melts with ecstatic love, he laughs very loudly or cries or shouts. Sometimes he sings, sometimes he dances like a madman, for he is indifferent to public opinion. So these are the symptoms of one who chants the holy names. What happens when one chants the holy names? When the auspicious holy names of Krishna, which embody, that holy name itself, it embodies all the activities of the Lord. When these names are chanted, it can bring about all sorts of symptoms of ecstasy of love that is described in these verses. As his heart melts with ecstasy, he laughs loudly, he cries, he shouts, sometimes he sings, sometimes he dances like a madman, and he becomes completely indifferent to the external world. So this is how the love of God is awakened by chanting the holy names. And they quote these two verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, I wanted to read the purport to this verse, which was extremely interesting to me. and I thought it had a lot of logical sense in it. So I just want to read that, only the first two paragraphs of the purport of this particular verse. Since the holy names, forms, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unlimited, no one can hear or chant about all of them. Therefore, the word Loke in this verse that we just read, the verse was, let me read that verse. The verse was Shrinvan Subhadrani Ratangapane Janmani Karmani Chayani Loke Gitani Namani Tad Attakani Gayan Vilajo Vichared Asangaha. Okay. So in the purport, they say the holy names, forms, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unlimited. No one can hear or chant about all of them. Therefore, the word Loke indicates that one should chant the holy names of the Lord that are well known for that particular planet. Within this world, Lord Rama and Lord Krishna are very famous. Their books of Ramayana and Bhagavad Gita are studied and relished all over the world. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is gradually becoming famous all over the world, as he himself predicted. Prithivite acheyata nagaradigram sarvatra prachara haibe moranam. In every town and village on this earth, the glories of my name will be chanted. Therefore, in conformity with the authorized statements of this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Krishna consciousness movement emphasizes the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, along with the Panchatattva Mantra, which is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So I thought the purport was super interesting, so I wanted to share that with everyone. So as Nama Sankirtan leads one to the treasure of pure love of God, true connoisseurs of devotional service, they consider Nama Sankirtan to be the very fruit of bhakti. Nama Sankirtan was not only the means according to them, but it was also the final perfection also. Now one will argue, no, final perfection is Prema Bhakti. Prema is the goal. But the point here is that Nama Sankirtan, it so quickly leads to Prema that they are considered virtually identical. Wherever Prema is seen, you can understand that Nama Sankirtan has developed. One can understand that Nama Sankirtana was performed first. Wherever you see symptoms of prema, Nama Sankirtan becomes a necessary cause and a sufficient cause for prema to develop. According to the knowers of rasa, people who understand rasa, the real sign of a person full of prema is that as he performs Sankirtan of the names that he specifically worships, the full force of spiritual agony erupts in him, and by the weight of his own love, he becomes so distressed, crying in separation from the Lord. So anyone who has developed prema in him, that is, if prema is manifested, the love of God is manifested in a person, we can understand that it is manifested only on account of him performing Nama Sankirtan very loudly. And how do you see these symptoms? You will see that he's so distressed, he becomes, he's crying out in agony. Why should he be in agony? Why should he be distressed? Because he's crying out in separation from love of God. And how can you compare that crying? You can compare it to the loud crying, distressed crying of the Chataka birds. So we all know these Chataka birds, they keep their mouth open during rainy season and they look up to the sky and they only feed on fresh raindrops. That is the only water that they take. They don't go and drink water from the muddy pool. They never do that. The Chataka birds, they look up at the sky and they're crying out to the sky. They're calling out to the clouds. How are they calling out in distress when they are thirsty? They call it, Priya, Priya, like that they are calling. What is that? It sounds like, Priya, Priya, my dear love, like that. They call out to these dark clouds. They're calling, where is my cloud? Where is my cloud? Where is the rainwater? So like that, these devotees, they call out to their Priya, they call out to their beloved when they have these symptoms of ecstasy that is coming out because of Nama Sankirtan. Another example is given of the lamenting of the Chakravaki birds. So during night time, when these Chakravaki female birds are separated from their husbands, in distress they call out, they just scream out for their husbands. So like that, the Sankirtan of the names of the Lord arises in deep separation, burdened by so much pain, when this kind of real Nama Sankirtan arises, one feels so much separation from the beloved, and that is a symptom of ecstasy of a person who has developed prema. So the real way, the point being made, is that the real way of performing Bhagavan Nama Sankirtan is to call out the beloved Lord in agony of separation from Him. That's why Prabhupada, he often says, when you chant the holy names, you must chant like a baby crying out for the mother. That's a very simple example we all can relate to. When a small child is crying and calling out for his mother, how will he cry? That should be the mood in which we chant, or that should be the mood in which we cry out for the Lord. So for the devotees who prefer this meditation over Sankirtan, they will say this chanting in full view of public is actually very risky in several ways, because there will be so many envious people who will try to interfere with your chanting. And you may also succumb to this allurement of popularity, because when you chant like that, people will be like wowed. They'll be like, wow, this person is melting in holy names. So you'll be, allured. You'll become very popular. Sometimes there are some people who may not even have the required physical strength to be chanting like that. Some may be too sick. Some may have a lot of health problems. All these things can happen. So the people who favor Smaranam, they will say that these problems don't arise for a devotee who simply meditates silently in a corner. They don't have to go through all these interruptions. But however, the Vaikuntha Dutas, they make it very, very clear that Nama Sankirtan cannot be disrupted in any way, because real Nama Sankirtan, this crying out like the Chataka bird, or this crying out like the Chakravaki bird, melting in ecstasy, all this happens only by the mercy of the Lord. It is not artificially possible. Okay, even if you're doing it artificially, it can be detected that you're doing it artificially. If you do it naturally, it's truly happening only by the mercy of the Lord. So no one can take it away easily, because it is a gift of God. It cannot be interrupted so easily. So like that, the Vaikuntha Dutas, they argue and they say this Nama Sankirtan is the best process. It is much better than what Pipalayana and others already described. Okay, so let's see a quick summary of what we have seen so far in today's session, because so many points were covered. So we'll just see a quick summary of what all was told by the Vaikuntha Dutas, okay? The Vaikuntha Vasis, they told Gopakumar that in order to fulfill his desire, he should return first to Vrajabhumi. Okay, that's the first thing he should do. And because, why? Because Vrajabhumi is the best place that fulfills all the desires. And what should he do? He should simply practice pure devotional service, and particularly he should focus on Nama Sankirtan. There, with an aspiration on his heart to attain the Lord's lotus feet. At that time, he will be able to develop prema, and he'll be able to go to Vaikuntha to see the Lord face to face. Then they began to address the claims of Pipalayana that remembrance is the best form of devotional service, and they started stressing chanting to be much above remembrance. And they said the advantages of chanting are, it acts on the sense of speech, sense of hearing, and the mind. It acts on all these different areas, but whereas remembrance only involves the mind. Then they said it benefits the chanter, not only the chanter, but it also benefits all others who are around this person and who hear the holy name. And then they said if the sense of speech is controlled, the mind becomes controlled, and one can easily remember the Lord. Smaranam becomes easy only because there is chanting. Kirtanam is really the cause. If someone is able to remember the Lord, the true cause is Kirtanam. So therefore, they said remembrance is only a fruit, but it cannot happen without chanting the holy names purely. So it is possible that meditation could be considered as greater than chanting, but when is it considered? Only when the mind is totally absorbed in the Lord, and when one's functions are completely involved with the Lord. This happens at a very advanced stage. Then one can perform all devotional activities in his smaranam itself. He can perform chanting within the mind. He can hear the glories of the Lord within his mind, and he can remove above the level of all the external senses at that time. And they also give this leverage that whatever process a perfect devotee performs, that is actually best for him. And for such a devotee, Sankirtana will increase the bliss of meditation, and meditation will increase the bliss of Sankirtan. And when they meditate like that, for very such advanced devotees, we see that the object of your worship, Krishna, manifests himself directly and he is very, very happy. But they say the process of Sankirtan is universal because Sankirtan will give bliss to everyone. Meditation has to be done by one's own endeavor. That is, one has to go and sit in a secluded place and he has to meditate. But Sankirtan can be done by himself separately or it can be done in a group. It can be done in the presence of many people. And this chanting of the Lord's names, it arouses prema very, very quickly. One can chant the name of the Lord he is most attracted to. He can choose the name that he is most attracted to. Then at that time, all the senses, not only the tongue, everything will be inundated with nectar. And in fact, others who are around him, others who are hearing him, they also become very happy. And therefore, chanting is much better than meditation. Then they said, chanting of the holy names is the best and the most powerful process and the best way to come to the platform of prema. And when one comes to the platform of prema through the process of chanting, one will chant more and more and more as a manifestation of that prema. And how will he chant? He will chant like the Chataka bird and the Chakravaki birds. One will feel that separation from the Lord like these birds who's crying out for their beloved. And chanting cannot be interrupted. Once prema is developed and one is chanting like a mad person, it cannot be interrupted because someone is thinking that because of external environment, there is no way that it can be interrupted because it has developed by the mercy of the Lord and not by his own endeavor. Now, there are so many more questions to this. And we will address all of that in our next session. In our next session, we will address the following. Will the chanters feel happy all the time? Do sins vanish when one begins chanting? What about great souls like Bharat Maharaj and others who seemingly had a fall down? What about them? Are there any examples of devotees who found that seeing the Lord in person is much better than seeing the Lord inside in meditation? Are there examples of such people? Is Gopakumar qualified to receive this mercy of the Lord and go to Vaikuntha? What should Gopakumar do next? Where will he go next? All this we will discuss in our next session, and then we'll complete the conversation of the Vaikuntha Dutas with Gopakumar, and we will see what happened to him after that. So I'll end the call here, and I'll stop speaking here. And anyone has any comments, questions, corrections, realizations, please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
So soon, the clock just clicks very fast.
I did 1 full hour today.
It is. My clock is still there, 2 minutes.
That's very sweet of you, Mataji.
Thank you very much, Mataji. It's wonderful.
Thank you, Kamadaki Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Yes, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam.
Hi, Dandavat Pranam Mataji. Very beautiful class. I was so excited to hear all the answer of that question you asked at the end. And you said you are going to stop. Amazing, Mataji. We'll wait for your next session.
Thank you, Shama Gauri Mataji. Thank you for coming on the call. Thank you for encouraging us always. Thank you, Mataji.
Because Mataji is amazing. It has to be amazing.
Thanks for your good blessings, Mataji. Kamalaki Mataji.
Please, she is also hearing. She heard this Kiridasuni Mataji's summer study and your classes, Bhagavad Bhagavatam, and so it's just so wonderful. I just keep on listening. That's what she said.
Hi, Nishu. Including your classes as well.
Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Kamalaki Mataji.
Hare Krishna Priti Vilasini Mataji. All glorious to your wonderful narration. Unfortunately, I only got on the last 15 minutes, so I will have to listen to it from the beginning. I just have one question. Came on right when you were talking about the Sri Rama Rama Rameti verse and the Hare Krishna verse. Can you tell me where the verse about Krishna being equivalent to Sri Rama, you know, a thousand?
That's in Brahmanda Purana, Mataji.
Brahmanda Purana. Okay, thank you. Can you send me that?
Yeah, I will send you the verse and the reference here.
Okay, thank you very much. So I don't have any comments except for thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Kaneshwari Lakshmi Mataji.
Hare Krishna Priti Vilasini Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Mataji, very sweet class. Actually, I missed in the beginning, I'll hear. Thank you so much, Mataji, for your association. It's really, that is too bad what you were telling, Mataji. I didn't get the name, you know. I heard about what is the two bird we're calling to. One is because of the water, he want to take water from only sky, yes, and then another
one is calling out for their husbands in separation in the night. One is Sataka bird, okay. The other one is Chakravaki bird.
Sataka.
The first one is Chataka, the one who drinks only rainwater from a fresh cloud, and the other one is Chakravaki.
Chakravaki and Chataka, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji. Yes, Anjana Gopika, okay. Mataji.
Thank you so much for your sweet class.
Thank you, Anjana Gopika, Mataji. Thank you so much for us. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. And all the results of your to get us, you know, your mouth feeding us to go. Specifically, if you just say, your mouth feeding us all the glories of the Lord. And the most important part, which I like if I have to take something from this lecture is, classes, that the eagerness to chant the holy names of the Lord. Like, there are so many comparisons which are given, right? Like, how the Chataka birds waits for the first drop of the rain, like that you should have the intensity to serve the Lord. But Mataji, I have a query over here is that in this material life, when we are into all children, husband, everything, you know, that intensity which we are talking about, that intensity comes when we are in the near vicinity. Like, suppose you go, if I am in Dallas now, and then I know I have to go. But then when we are outside, when we are with family, you know, family comes as a priority. And then knowingly, unknowingly, I don't know, like, we try our best when we are outside also, we chant and everything. Then so somehow, at least I am feeling over here now, that Krishna becomes a second priority. I don't know, I know, like, I'm chanting, so I'm giving that also, but somewhere it does not convince me. Like, how that feeling is, like, I don't know, in lectures I've heard that the feeling to love Krishna should be such that the new feeling of the new lovers, right, like how they want to, the girl or the boy is so eager to meet the lover. Like, that intensity should be while you want to meet Krishna. Like, though they are meeting, then do they feel the separation? I don't know, in some of the lectures I heard this, that should be the intensity of one, how the new lovers love each other. Like, that intensity should be that you are missing Krishna, you want to see Krishna every time. But that does not come after you come into a family life or after you come into a grihastha life. How would you explain that, Mataji? Like, I don't know, I feel that it's not properly done by me.
Okay.
I don't know, I'm not able to put up in words also, I guess.
I just have one answer to that, is that we are all in this material world, we are all conditioned, it's not just family life alone, anyone, even Ramacharis have the issue, in fact sometimes even Sannyasis would have that issue, Vanaprashtis will have that issue, everyone will have that issue. As long as you are in this material world, it is not easy, but still we are all practicing, that's why we are all practicing devotees. As practicing devotees, we have hope that we can improvise and we can strengthen our sadhana with time. So people who have been practicing, that's why practice is so important, right? As we practice more and more and more, we become perfect. We don't become perfect in the initial stages itself. So it's going to take time, but the time that is taken is actually very less in the process
the process that we are given, it's so ready-made and given to us in such a nice format to us by Srila Prabhupada. This process is probably the fastest process, and we just have to keep hope that yes, it will, we will attain that perfection that we are expecting someday. In fact, it is the best packaged process that is being given to us. So just a little bit sincerity in the process will surely give us great benefits. And you should not worry so much in one sense, because yes, we are in this material world. We are constantly, there are so many things that are there around us which we have to take care also. But inside, in our consciousness, as long as we can focus our consciousness internally more on Krishna, that will be of great benefit. How do we do that? That we can do by practice. So it comes with time, Mataji, and I'm sure you yourself have been practicing for so long. So you would have definitely felt that definitely your thoughts of Krishna or your absorption in Krishna is definitely so much better than what it was several years ago. So it is a process that gets perfected over a period of time. So yes, I mean, it's good to have these feelings that, oh, maybe I'm not good enough. You know, that's a natural thing, that's a healthy feeling to have. But at the same time, don't get disheartened that it will never happen. So that is all I can say, Mataji. And please, if anyone wants to add or, correct or add more to this, please add for Sita Priti Mataji. Thank you, Sita Priti Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much, Nikishna.
Hare Krishna, Priti Mataji. Thank you so much for this beautiful class and chanting and remembering, Mataji. Mataji, I have a question, Mataji. Previously, in the same class of Bhagavad Bhagavatamrita, there is a class on Smarana, elaborate class on Smarana. And today, we have class on the chanting of the holy names. So, Mataji, I got a little bit of a contradictory question. Like, in the Smaranam class, you told us, Anta Kalecha Maam Eva Smaran Mukta. So, the person or the soul who remembers me at the end or Smaran, have the good remembrance, will attain irrespective of what are the other nine devotional services. So, then how to take this Mataji as chanting and this Smaranam? I got some kind of a little bit of confusion between these two Mataji.
Good question. Actually, that's what the Vaikuntha Devatas, they are trying to argue with the people who propose the idea of Smaranam. So, they all propose the idea of Smaranam, and point by point, these people are arguing against it, and they are saying, no, it is in fact chanting that can actually conquer any situation. So even to think of Krishna in the last minute, they are saying it is possible by chanting the holy names. Just see, in the case of Ajamil, they quoted the case of Ajamil. In the case of Ajamil, he chanted, and because he chanted, Krishna was brought in front of him. You know, like Krishna was brought in the front of him, and so in the sense, in his Krishna and his name are non-different. Okay. So in that sense, it was working. Krishna was present in his tongue, and Krishna was present in his in him. In him, in the sense, like to save him, the Vaikuntha Dutas, they also came and they helped. Right? The Vishnu Dutas came and they helped because the holy names were chanted, which is non-different from Krishna. So yes, Anta Kale Cha Maam Evam Smaran Muktva Kalevaram. But how can the Smaranam be possible? It cannot be possible last minute. I mean, in Ajamal's case, it was not possible because he went and he started meditating on the Lord. No, it was possible only because he chanted the name of the Lord. So chanting takes priority. That's how the Vaikuntha Dutas, they are explaining the process, and they are in fact arguing with the theory that was proposed by Pippalayana and other sages. Now, Pippalayana and other sages, they were in Tapaloka. The time, place, circumstance of Tapaloka is very different from the time, place, and circumstance of this place. So, we have to take things in our context. So, that's how they also, right? They talk about Kali Yuga, and they say, Kali Yuga has a special benefit. And in fact, we are very, very fortunate to be in the Sampradaya of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has packaged it so beautifully for us. So that's how we understand that. So when we hear, right, each person will give their point of view. Like Pipalayana and others, they are giving their point of view. Like that time when you hear, it is very convincing. But then now, when you hear these people, you will understand, oh, actually there's much more to it. It's not just as straightforward as they are saying, right? There are so many practical, impractical things in Smaranam, direct Smaranam.
Yes, that's what Mataji. Because of the previous class, it was like very, very convincing, and it made me think that Smaranam is the utmost of the nine of the divisional processes. But now hearing this class, now I got to know the again importance of chanting. And while recollecting this, both Smaranam and chanting are some kind of little confusion for me. But now, yeah, as you told Mataji, it comes from the time, place, circumstances where we live also. Yeah, that makes sense, Mataji.
And as we will see more and more and more how Gopakumar practiced, how he chanted, so many things will be revealed to us. So this entire Bhagavatamrita is building stage by stage, okay? So it will keep improvising itself. Like that.
Yes, Mataji, yes, that is true. Because each and every class is moving us forward little by little, Mataji.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, thank you so much, Mataji. And I want to mention again the other also, the mimicry you did of the animals and birds added more flavor to the class, Mataji. It's very, very nice, Mataji. And undoubtedly, the class on this chanting is really very nice, Mataji. And all glorious your service, Mataji, making this like a peeling of the banana and giving us the fruit to eat. It is true, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Mataji, the question, even Ismaran is only good when we sincerely chant. Yes, they are related, correlated to each other. I mean, so when we chant properly, and then Ismaran comes nicely, na?
Yes.
Yeah, when we chant properly and all the dot will go away, and then all the past time will reveal in our heart, automatically the Ismaran is coming. Na?
Automatically it begins.
Yeah, that's understanding. Yes, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Anjana Gopika. Thank you, Supriya Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasini Mataji, Dhanavad Pranam. How glorious to Srila Prabhupada. It was wonderful to watch you today on YouTube, especially, you know, with all the imitations. When you were imitating the tiger and the elephant, it was just amazing. It was funny. Thank you so much. You made it a very entertaining class too. Mataji, on the same lines, what I was also wondering was, you were talking about in Kali Yuga, chanting is the recommended process, right? So, Parikshit Maharaj was also, he was here in Kali Yuga itself, right? But he was just told to listen. So, just here, Shravanam is most important for him, and just by Shravanam, he was able to go back to Godhead.
Yes.
So, just like what you said, right? Not time, based on the time, place, circumstances, things change all the time.
So, see how it works is, we also saw how the Vaikunthavasis were giving us certain key points. They were just not saying only, only Kirtanam. That is the only fixed rule. They didn't say that. They gave you so many options. They said, yes, for an advanced devotee, you begin with, this is a general rule that can be followed. Begin with, when you chant, the rest of the faculties come under control. But they said, for a devotee who has developed taste in any one of the nine processes, if he is able to perfect that process nicely, he will be able to attain prema directly through that process. They gave this leverage, right? So they said that. So in the case of Parikshit, just look at him. What did he do? For 7 days, 7 nights, without food and water, he sat and he heard. The question is, can we do that? He has so much taste in hearing. Okay? He has so much taste in hearing, and he was able to perfect through the process of hearing. He was an advanced devotee. He was able to do it. So the Vaikuntha Dutas, they are not saying that there are no exceptions at all. You say, yes, exceptions are possible. But this is the general method that is prescribed. That's it. Okay, Mataji? So yes. The intensity that one has to put in that kind of shravanam is it is rare in this age and time. But whereas when you can chant, it appears to be a process that is much simpler and much easier, that can evoke love of God in a faster fashion. And it can also engage the other senses. Even the ear gets engaged and the mind also gets engaged and the mind comes under control if chanting is done properly. Okay, of course, if and buts are there, if chanting is done properly. Okay, so that is why we are prescribed the specific vows only for chanting. We are not given vows that you should hear. I mean, it's a good rule that you, yes, you must hear Bhagavatam every day. There's no questions about it. But it is not a specific vow because ultimately it comes down to chanting. In this age, time, circumstance, etc., it comes down to chanting as a general formula. But over a period of time, if you have developed, if you become more advanced, if all of us, not just one person, if whoever has become more advanced and is able to develop that kind of intense love for Shravanam, and they're able to do it so intensely, then Shravanam alone can take them back to God. Shravanam alone can do, like how it did for Parikshit Maharaj. Okay, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji. Yes, yes. Yes, thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
One more question I had from last week's class was, Mataji, you mentioned that when Adi Shankaracharya was there, Lord Krishna did not want to reveal himself out to the entire public, and that's why the Advaita system was started, right? To everyone. But then he himself comes as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he just freely gives it out to everyone. So why so much of a contradiction in such a short span of time?
Okay. So it is basically the whole thing, like how they tell us is that, see how what happened, we know the history, right? History is also described in Padma Purana, stage by stage, what happened in Kali Yuga. What happens in Kali Yuga. So what happened in Buddhism? Buddhism came. It kind of brought about this. The good thing that it brought about was it took out animal sacrifice, and they were taking Vedas for granted and they were misusing it. So Buddha came and he had to set things right. But to do that, he just told, don't believe in the Vedas at all. Everything is shunya. There is nothing. After all this, there is nothing. Everything is zero. He came and he zeroed out everything and so many converts into Buddhism. So at that time, Shankaracharya had to come. He had to come and he had to preach a philosophy that is very similar to Buddhism, saying that everything ultimately is one. It's not shunya. Everything is ultimately one, but you believe the Vedas. So he had to give it in a step-by-step fashion. At that time, if you come and talk about Prema Bhakti, it was not the ripened platform. I mean, it was not the fertile ground for him to come and talk about Prema Bhakti at that point in time. People will misconstrue the entire process. It required, over a period of time, when Ramanujacharya came, Madhvacharya came, then we had so many others, other acharyas who came, and then finally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to come. He himself, Lord himself, had to come to give it the most, like we saw in today's story, how it was by the potency of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when animals could chant. He himself came. He himself came and he gave this pure love of God freely because he's capable of doing it. He's the one who could do it. And the time was ready. It was ready because the platform was set. They were putting the foundation at the time of Buddhism. Then they put the layers step by step. All the layers were set. The Siddhanta was getting more and more clear. You see even how Achinti Veda Tattva evolved, right? It came after Vishishta Advaita. Then it was more modified. Then Dvaita came. Then you had Dvaita Advaita. Or Shuddha Advaita came. So all these elements were incorporated one by one, and then you have Achanti Veda Veda. Like that, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, how Chaitanya came and gave Prema Bhakti was when the ground was really fertile. And that too, he didn't send someone. He himself came. Because he knows what it is. No one else knows. When he gave it in that fashion, he gave it to me. Was that okay? No one else could have done it, and it was also not the right time, right after Buddhism, to give Prema Bhakti. People would have messed it up. So that's the concept, Mataji. Was that satisfying and acceptable?
Yes, Mataji. But instead of it being a systematic thing where you follow this and then slowly you progress onto the next thing and then you progress onto the next thing, it just ends up being right now we have all the different flavors there out there, so anyone can pick whatever their mind pleases is interested in. So I just so much room for confusion right now. That's all.
Yes, there is. You're right, there is room for confusion, but again, it is the individual soul's desire also, right, Mataji? At the end of the day, it is not that everyone should follow only one thing, right? Why do the Vedas have so much options? Why do they encourage so much different activities? Because each jiva is at a different stage of comprehending things. Each one has a different flavor. Some people are attracted to impersonalism. Some people are at... There is variety, Mataji. There is so much variety in the jiva. Each one desires something. But as far as Lord Chaitanya's advent, he had to wait for the environment to be the right time and situation for him to come and give. So, yes, bounds for confusion is there everywhere, but it's ultimately unto the jiva, what his ultimate desire is, where he wants to go ultimately, what kind of perfection he wants to really attain. So options are available, Mataji.
Right. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Beautiful.
Thank you, Indu Mataji. Yeah. And anyone wants to add can also please add or correct. Okay. Any other questions, comments, realizations, corrections? Okay, so then we can end the call. Thank you all so much for joining. And we will meet again next week with the same philosophical discussion about Kirtanam being superior to all other processes by the very good Dutas. And then we will see what happened to Gopakumar right after that. And we will enter the next chapter, which is entering Vaikuntha Loka, the class after that, which is going to be super interesting. So just stay tuned. We'll meet again next week. वांछा कल्पतरूभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यश्च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय. श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय. श्री श्री बृहद भागवतामृता की जय. श्रील सनातन गोस्वामी की जय. अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय. हरे
कृष्ण. Interesting and enlightening. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Pamodaki Mataji. All glories to all of you on the call. Always
we are just releasing, and you are the wings of all the world. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Just serving on a gold platter all the nice nectar. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
And